Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Welcome to today's show. Now, Christmas is just around the corner, and while it's meant to be a season of joy, for many of us, it's one of the most stressful times of the year. Research consistently shows that stress, anxiety, and feelings of overwhelm peak in December, with long to-do lists, financial pressures, emotional expectations, and those complicated family dynamics, all piling in at once. Add in the dark mornings and early nights, and it's no wonder so many people limp into January feeling utterly depleted. So I thought this would be the perfect moment to pause and rewind. Over the past few weeks on There's a Walk for That, I've spoken to some extraordinary guests who use walking as a tool for well-being. And yes, of course, walking brings all those familiar physical benefits: improved fitness, cardiovascular health, weight management, stronger joints, better sleep. And we'll be digging much more deeply into that side of the story in the next episode. But what fascinated me for today was something else. Because these guests don't walk to hit targets or smash goals. They walk to steady themselves, to calm their nervous systems, to dial down the overwhelm, to reconnect with joy, clarity, and ease, especially at times when life feels too much. So today's episode brings together four conversations woven around a few simple themes to explore walking not just as movement, but as everyday medicine. And one subject that came up again and again was stress. Modern life keeps us permanently switched on. Emails, deadlines, notification, noise. And walking does something quite radical in response. It slows us down. It lowers cortisol. It gives the nervous system permission to settle. And one of my guests, Kundalini yoga teacher Martha Chester, explained this beautifully. She talked about how the simple cross-body movement of walking helps regulate the nervous system, particularly the vagus nerve, the nerve responsible for our ability to feel calm, safe, and connected. She described walking not as exercise, but as a way of coming home to the body. Let's hear from Martha.
Hi, Harriet. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm a Kundalini yoga teacher and teacher trainer, and I run a lot of retreats for people to reconnect, rejuvenate, reduce stress, renew their bodies and their self-concept. They want to deal with an issue that's maybe been holding them back for many years. What's wonderful about Kundalini yoga is that we can meditate while we're walking and we're with our eyes open, and when we're outside energetically through our bodies. Humans have evolved to walk. So we've got a very deep DNA longing that our body is built to walk. And we've become more and more sedentary because of, you know, since the Industrial Revolution. Physically, walking is called a cross movement because your body should create a cross movement. So it's right arm, left leg, left arm, right leg. And this movement has a very deep rocking sensation, which will rebuild neuron connections between your left and right hemispheres of your brain, which is part of this why people feel renewed after a walk. But also this cross movement helps to calm your parasympathetic nervous system, and more importantly, your vagus nerve. so that you have a renewed concept of what's around you. It will tone your entire nervous system, including your vagus nerve. And you, if you imagine that your nervous system is collecting information all the time about where you are and what you're doing, and your peripheral nervous system is made up of your touch, your sound, your taste, your smell, and it feeds back all of that constantly. Your nervous system is just feeding back to itself, feeding back. Is everything fine? Do I need to be worried about anything? Anything going on? Any lions in the bushes? And your vagus nerve then collects that data and feeds it back to your brain. If your vagus nerve is really tense, you will feel overstimulated by information around you, and you'll have a feeling of being overwhelmed. When you walk, your vagus nerve will become toned. So it's not that it becomes flaccid and relaxes, but it just, it's kind of like tuning a piano. It will find a tone that it's meant to have. And then as your peripheral nervous system feeds the information back to it, it can handle the information and it will allow you to process it. So suddenly you're like, oh my God, look at the trees and look at this. And you get a bigger range of what you can see and what you can process.
I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. With the hyper-stressful Christmas season on its way, today we're exploring how walking can help create calm and reduce stress. We've just been hearing from Martha Chester, who explained how the simple, rhythmic act of walking tones the nervous system and helps the brain and body process the world more easily. And what I love about this is how accessible it is. No equipment, no subscription, no special skill, just movement, breath, and attention. And walking doesn't make the causes of stress disappear, of course, but that's kind of the point. A peaceful state of mind isn't out there, it's in here. Another guest, Alice Rowe, runs Winter Mental Health Walks and speaks about how being in nature gives the mind something gentle to rest on. We met in Folkestone for a walk along the beach.
My brain can be quite noisy and chaotic. And when I'm walking near the sea, you just zone in to the noise of the waves and suddenly realise you're not really thinking about anything else and everything's gone a little bit quieter.
I think when I was really little, we always, every weekend, we'd always have been taken on walks and gone to the woods or the coast. And then as I've got older, I've just realised that I'm just at my absolute happiest when I'm outside. I just get this amazing feeling, and you feel kind of in touch with the seasons, and you can hear, like you said, bird song, feel sun on your skin. It just feels amazing. You'll suddenly be aware that there's like a blackbird singing near you, and kind of just, I find bird song really, I could just feel my body kind of just not melt, but kind of just ease back into, I don't know, just feeling calm again. And I guess it's almost like mindfulness. Like you said, not quite a distraction. But just look at something else, be aware of what's around you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today's topic is how walking can bring us peace of mind in this Christmas season that can be so full of stress. We've just been hearing from gardener and walk leader Alice Rowe. And I just want to pause for a moment on what Alice said about hearing birdsong, that sense of calm it brings. This is something that's backed up by research. Listening to birdsong really can ease anxiety and lift our mood. In one study, even a few minutes of birdsong reduced feelings of stress and helped people feel more grounded. It's a lovely reminder, especially as we move into the months when seasonal affective disorder can creep in that you don't always have to go far to feel better. Just sitting in your garden or in your local park, noticing the air and the light, the sound of the birds, all of that can help lift your mood and reconnect you to the living world around you. It's something that Debbie North talked about. She's the Disability and Access Ambassador for the Countryside and CEO of Access the Dales. And when she was on There's a Walk for That, she spoke about how just a few moments of sitting in her garden can be enough to nurture joy and ease difficult emotions. Here she is explaining it to us.
People talk about vitamin nature and the positive impacts of being outdoors. I've suffered mental health issues with losing my husband. You know, I still suffer. I have really good days and then other days it's very dark and I feel lonely. I feel angry that he's gone. I go through so many emotions. But when I am outdoors, I feel uplifted. I can feel that sense of, yeah, I can get to the end of today, even if I'm just spending 10 minutes outside in the garden, outside in green space, it uplifts me. I know it generates positivity.
That role of walking and being in nature in easing overwhelm and grief leads us neatly to the second theme of today's show, which is walking as a practice for healing. Several guests have spoken about turning to walking during periods of burnout, grief, or emotional exhaustion. Nima Lakhani is one of those. A well-being coach, she shared how walking supported her recovery from burnout. At her lowest point, she was overwhelmed, exhausted, unable to engage with daily life. One short walk with her family, just 5 minutes, shifted something.
And I remember very clearly when I met you because we both attended a net walking event. We started talking about walking and you said to me, walking saved my life. That's literally the words you used. Walking saved my life. And I was so intrigued by that. So I'd love to hear from your point of view, what is burnout?
Yeah, I'd say burnout is that mental load that makes you feel like you're constantly on edge. You don't actually, even when you're supposed to relax, you don't feel relaxed. You can't seem to relax no matter what you do. So externally, if you're in a spa, you're still not, if you're having a massage, you're still not relaxing. If you're having a cup of tea and sitting in front of the TV, you're not focusing or relaxed because you're thinking of the next thing or you're thinking of what else has to be done. And you don't notice it, I don't think. When I experienced burnout, I didn't notice it. And I say this over and over again, people around me noticed it because I was on edge all the time. I was quick. I was very fast in everything I did. You know, I never slowed down because things had to be done. You know, in my head, things had to be done. So you are often the last person to notice it. And that's when it hits you hard. And you notice it right at the end, when you are physically drained, when you are mentally drained, when you have nothing left to give. That's when you personally notice your burnout. And that's when, you know, that's when you realize you need actually, something needs to change. I remember it was during COVID that we were in the park and my youngest, she was playing on the climbing frame. She's like, Mum, come up. The old me would have shot up there, you know, gone up there. But I could not be bothered. And I thought, wow, that's not me. I love playing with my children. I love getting involved. I love chasing her, you know, but I just couldn't do it. And for me, that really hit me hard. And I thought, wow, I was 38 years old and I physically can't play and I have no desire to play with my child. I had that burnout and I remember I didn't go out the house for a long time. So I was very lucky that I had my brother, my sister and my sister-in-law almost doing like a family takeover, coming to my house and saying, we're going to get you out of this house and we're going to go for a walk. And I was like, no, I don't want to. And I remember them taking me out for a walk and they said, look, we'll go for a 5-minute walk. We'll just give you some fresh air, get you some fresh air, and then we'll go for a coffee afterwards. And the thought of having a walk and going for coffee in public at the time when I was feeling really rubbish was my worst nightmare. But we did it. And I remember that was the time I felt truly supported. Something about that walk, that fresh air, made me feel a tiny bit positive. So for me, you know, this theme is walking. And I said to you, walking saved my life. And when I say it, I genuinely mean it, because walking for me has meant so many different things at so many different stages in my life. So walking has been the consistent thing. So in 2016, when I went through burnout and overwhelm and I left my job and I had this big, you know, for me, it was getting me out the house simply for fresh air. And it wasn't that much walking. It was just stepping out the house. Because before, walking for me was like, no, I'd rather take the bus or the car or the, you know, it was nothing. It was just an easier option. But then September 2020 is when I got really serious with my walking. So up to that point, walking just meant fresh air for me. From the point of 2020, walking meant getting myself out in the middle of the day when I was with my kids with them 24/7. It gave me a sense of freedom. It gave me a sense of my own time away from feeling stuck in the house. So every day I would prioritize 12 to 1 when the kids had their lunch break and hubby had his lunch break from his work, I would go for an hour walk. And that became such an ingrained habit that if I didn't do it, then it felt strange. And that walking time in that period, that COVID period, gave me some respite. It saved me from feeling, well, eating maybe, or just feeling down, or it gave me an alternative, you know? And then as the weather turned and it got colder and dark, like rainier, it was so easy for me to say, no, I'm not going to go out. But then it made me realize that I've been making excuses all my life. And actually, this is just an excuse. So I can do it. And I pushed myself in the rain, in the snow, in the whatever, to walk. And it felt so good because it made me feel like I could challenge myself. And it gave me little challenges for myself. So that built up my kind of mental, I suppose, health. And then that kind of pushed on to, well, if I can do this, then I can do more. I can walk more. I can push myself more, and then I can eat better. And I did. I ate much better. I cut my portion sizes. Anyway, in that time, I lost, I was 74 kg. I got down to 52 kg in the 2 years. So I lost 22 kg. And I went back to my normal weight, when I was in a good place. So at that time, walking for me was freedom, health, and respite. And then from 22, 23, when things got back to normal to now, walking is the most powerful tool for me for clarity, for intention, for setting intention for the day. Now walking for me is such a habit. It's like brushing my teeth. If I don't walk in the morning for 45 minutes to an hour, then I don't feel my day set up, and I try and make it up. I don't put pressure on it, because the second I put pressure on walking, I stop enjoying it. So I do it because I love it and I enjoy it. And now walking for me is going out and looking at nature, reflecting, clarity for my business, clarity for my home life, what I want I want to create in my home life, in my family, in my business, and how I want. I'm just trying to create the best version of myself, and walking helps me give clarity for that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That, presented by me, Harriet Thomas. And today I've been looking back at some of the wonderful guests who've shown just how powerful walking can be in nurturing our well-being, whether that's calming overwhelm, finding moments of light in grief, or even recovering from burnout. Martha Chester, Debbie North, and Nima Lakhani are all living proof that walking can gently support us through life's hardest moments. And listening to their stories, a clear thread emerges. Walking creates space for healing because it asks nothing of us. You don't have to explain, perform, or fix anything. Just move forward, letting the nervous system settle and the mind quiet, as Martha and Alice describe. That, to me, is the real power of walking. All this good stuff happens so naturally. All you have to do is step outside and put one foot in front of the other. But here's the catch. The real challenge isn't heroic hikes or epic distances. It's the everyday practice, the key to a walking habit that truly heals and relaxes and brings joy is consistency, showing up day after day, one step at a time. Lillian Larty, a wellness coach who's experienced burnout twice, spoke about walking as a non-negotiable anchor, something that brings rhythm to the day, particularly in midlife, when energy, priorities, and bodies begin to change.
And I think because of this learning that I have is what draws the clients that I have to me. Because when they come to me and they say, oh, Lina, I just want to get fit. I say to them, okay, tell me about your lifestyle. Show me how you're breathing. And they're like, oh my goodness, no one's ever asked me these questions before. And I'm like, yes, because I want to know about the whole of you. I want to help you to get fit, healthy and strong so that you can live life and you can live it well, not only in your midlife, but beyond.
So in this kind of holistic view of health, connecting all the mental, emotional, spiritual, physical aspects of our being, in all of that, where would you place walking?
For me, walking is everything. Like you said, the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, the physical. I go out on my walks first thing in the morning. One, because it's quieter. It's at the start of the day. I have more energy in the morning. I'm a morning person. And it's good to get the daylight in my eyes as well. And just connecting with nature. I've always, since I was a little girl, I remember I used to, you know, humbug my mum about, can I go in the garden and play, please? Regardless of what the weather was like, I just used to love being outdoors. And then life happened and then I got out of the rhythm of that. And I have to give thanks for my health coach who encouraged me to start going out regardless of the weather. Because I used to say to her, winter, forget it. And she says, Lillian, regardless of the weather, go out, even if it's for 10 minutes. I was like, oh, okay. It's about the clothing that you're wearing. And I was like, what's the point? So I would put layers on for the winter. And then I would do my walk. And I just developed from there. And I was like, okay, 10 minutes. I'm going to do 15. I'm going to do 20. I'm going to do 30 through to an hour. It helps me to process my thoughts, process my emotions. I have a faith, so I connect with God as I'm walking. And I'm just observant about my environment as well. You know, seeing the changes of nature. I learn a lot from nature as the seasons transition. And I see things afresh each season. And it just brings me joy.
My name is Harriet Thomas, and you're listening to There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. So as we come towards the end of today's show, I want to pause and take stock of what we've explored together, because throughout this episode, I've been looking at walking through three very real, very human lenses: stress, healing, and consistency. We started with stress. That feeling that so many of us recognise at this time of year, the constant mental noise, the pressure, the sense of always being switched on. Through Martha Chester's work, we heard of something as simple as the rhythm of walking can directly support the nervous system, calming the body, settling the mind, and helping us feel safe again in ourselves. From there, we moved into healing. Through Alice Rowe and Debbie North, we heard how being outdoors, even briefly, can ease anxiety, soften grief, and offer moments of genuine relief. Whether it's birdsong, sea air, or just sitting in a garden, walking and nature give the mind somewhere else to land. And then there's consistency. Nima Lakhani and Lillian Larty both spoke powerfully about this. Not heroic hikes, not epic distances, but showing up regularly, walking as an anchor, as a rhythm to the day, as something you return to again and again, and especially when life feels unsteady. And what really struck me across all four conversations is this. None of these guests walk to hit targets or chase goals. They walk to steady themselves, to calm their nervous system, to support their well-being one step at a time. So with all this in mind, and with Christmas just around the corner, I want to finish today's episode with a few simple walking tips that you can actually use over the festive season. Tip number one, make it ridiculously achievable. This is not the season for grand plans. A 10-minute walk counts. 5 minutes counts. Stepping outside to escape the noise and breathe the cold air absolutely counts. Walking works best when you stop asking it to be impressive. Just put on your shoes, get outside of that door, and feel yourself relax. Tip number two, ditch the data, at least sometimes. December already comes with enough numbers. Spending, calories, deadlines. Try walking without tracking it all. No steps, no pace, no goals. Just let your eyes and your ears do the noticing instead. That's like a bit of a mindfulness tip. Tip number three, pair walking with a small pleasure. You can turn your walk into a treat, not a chore. A favourite podcast, a playlist you only use outside, or just the quiet. Let it be part of the day that you secretly look forward to. Tip number four, walk between worlds. Now that's not as supernatural as it sounds. What I mean is, use walking as a buffer. Between work and home, before the school run, after a tense conversation, before you put the turkey in, or maybe just before you're having a full-on family gathering like Christmas lunch. Walking helps your nervous system reset before you step into whatever is next. Tip number five, walk as an act of kindness. Kindness to yourself, that is. So try not to think too much of self-improvement. Try not to think of self-discipline. Just think about looking after yourself. Walk because it's one gentle and reliable way of saying, I'm doing the best I can right now. So that's it. My five simple tips to help you use walking to stay calmer and more joyful this Christmas. It really does come down to consistency. Walk every day for a week and you'll start to notice the shift. Stress levels will come down and feelings of clarity and wonder will get stronger and stronger. And if you'd like a little bit of extra motivation, you can download your Walk Yourself Wonderful guide. Just click the website link under my show bio or head to my website at www.feelgoodwalk.com. Next week on There's a Walk for That, we'll be looking back at guests who shared the physical benefits of walking. So if you're one of those who is quietly worrying about all that Christmas food, or maybe you're already planning your new healthy habits for 2026, next week's show is definitely for you. As for me, I have been sitting down for far too long today. It's time for me to lace up my shoes and to take myself out to my local park. I hope you're going to go for your walk too. Until next week, happy walking!